They stood shivering in the freezing cold of an October day in Minsk, two musicians desperately trying to drum up spectators for an election rally held on behalf of the Belarusian opposition party Tell the Truth. The party's presidential candidate, Tatiana Karatkevich, promised she would encourage private business and improve relations between Belarus and the outside world. But the truth is that no one here believes she has any chance of winning office or putting her ideas into practice. I've got to say, the atmosphere here is pretty bleak. Here we have the main opposition candidate in the Belarus presidential election speaking at a rally in the capital, and I don't think there are more than two dozen people at most in the audience. But then the activists here will tell you that getting any attention for their campaign has been very difficult.
I am Andriy Dmitriev. I am the leader of Tell the Truth campaign. You will find the big posters for Lukashenko and no posters of other candidates. We can campaigning only on the special places set up by the Central Election Commission. We apply for meeting, they always deny it.
In a rather cramped and run-down office, a group of journalists are trying to provide a fair hearing to opposition candidates in the presidential election. Nasha Niva is actually one of the oldest newspapers in the Belarusian language, founded in 1906, though it disappeared during the Soviet period. Now the editor, Andrei Dinko, is trying to revive it as a beacon of independent political reporting.
Alexander Lukashenko, the president of the country, controls all the big media inside the country. The internet is free. But in a country like Belarus, the majority of the population still rely on TV and radio. All this big machine of state media promote one candidate, Alexander Lukashenko.
So what's it like for you trying to operate as an independent newspaper in this environment?
Our possibilities are limited because we are restricted in selling newspapers and in financing our activities. That's a very smart, modern dictatorship. It's not like the Soviet Union regime. Here you have a certain space for opposition, but the opposition is limited in its possibilities to operate.
That claim is backed up by just about every human rights group that's investigated Belarus. Amnesty International says journalists and government critics here are regularly locked up. The United Nations Special Rapporteur on Belarus also complained about laws which restrict people's ability to organize political campaigns. And yet, there are surveys which suggest that this country's president, Alexander Lukashenko, does still retain the support of most Belarusian people, that he would win even the fairest of elections. Of course, one could dismiss the validity of such a finding, given that there's not much opportunity for voters to hear about the president's shortcomings. But even some of Lukashenko's most severe critics argue that his popularity is now a fact that can't be ignored.
Belarus has low unemployment, healthcare, education is free, and there's quite big social support. And this is why Lukashenko is still a popular president.
Alexei Pakulik is director of the think tank the Belarusian Institute for Strategic Studies. He himself has been arrested because of his work. He was once driven into exile. Yet even he's come round to accepting that people here rather like the stability of continuous rule by one man, and particularly so after they saw what happened next door in Ukraine.
People are afraid that the same scenario which took place in Ukraine could happen in Belarus, that Russians could intervene. And the main platform on which Lukashenko is running is the message that with me Belarus will be a stable, independent country. This current regime is being quite successful to more or less recreate this quasi-socialist miracle.
The attempt at a socialist miracle is only evident in the architecture and design of this city. Minsk was completely destroyed in World War II. And Stalin ordered it to be rebuilt as a monument to what socialism could achieve. It still has wide boulevards and grand buildings. But Minsk today also illustrates this country's Janus face status. Look in one direction from where I'm standing, and there's the headquarters of the State Security Agency, which is still called the KGB. But look the other way, and you see a branch of the international restaurant chain TGI Fridays. There's also, of course, a McDonald's and a host of ultra-fashionable nightclubs and bars. I ducked into one of the more chic establishments in Minsk city centre and talked there to two up-and-coming Belarusian 20-somethings, Victoria and Alexander. What direction did they see their country taking?
We have our own history, we have our own traditions, and I don't think we should follow Russia or the European side.
And are you feeling optimistic at the moment as this country heads into an election? Do you think you will be free to choose your own path?
I think we all are free to choose the candidate we want to see as our president.
I'm being polite and not asking who you're going to vote for. Do you want to tell me or you want to keep it a secret?
For whom? I think that it will be a secret.
Now, I've also got here Alexander, who has decided not to vote at all in this election. Why is that, Alexander?
I don't go to vote because I don't think that other candidates have any chance. The elections is a joke for me. It's funny. Just funny.
Some Belarusians, though, struggle to find anything to laugh about in the current political climate. In a nondescript building on the outskirts of Minsk, I found a rehearsal underway by a very unusual theatre group. The Belarus Free Theatre performs work that's either overtly political or which puts a contemporary political slant on old plays. They're banned from conventional theatres here. Indeed, some of their members have been imprisoned. Marina Yukubovich, one of the group's actors, told me that she too won't bother to vote in Sunday's election. Her political views, she says, are better expressed not through a corrupted ballot box, but through the kind of plays which only her group manages to stage.
In the state theatres, people don't want to talk about problems, our Belarusian real problems. They prefer to talk about some love stories, something like this. So for me, it's better to work here and to do really interesting theatre.
But by working with the Belarus Free Theatre, you have caused yourself all sorts of problems. You've been blacklisted, you've lost your state job, it's very difficult for you to earn any money. Do you ever regret doing this?
I've never regret about doing Belarus Free Theatre. I mean, it's really difficult to stop telling the truth.